Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm editor Candace Gibson, joined today by a special guest, staff writer Jane McGrath.
Hi, Candace. Thanks for having me.
Of course. My voice might be a little bit too bubbly for the topic we're about to discuss. Some may call it profane, some may call it sacred, some may call it gross. I don't know. But there are some corpses out there that don't rot.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's especially surprising because if you look at how bodies usually decompose, it doesn't take too long for a body to start showing some wear and tear. Like that's why embalming, I guess, is so popular. You don't want to remember your loved ones rotting away.
No, you don't. And it's funny because after you die, your body is not your own. It becomes host to hundreds of maggots and other critters of the insect world. I don't even know if maggots are insects, but they're gross. They settle in. They especially like really moist cavities, and, you know, they start eating your flesh, and things start falling off bones, and you become an unrecognizable mess.
That's true. And it happens pretty quickly, even with embalming. I remember hearing that even if a body's embalmed, it only takes a year for a body to keep decompose into a skeleton.
And that's why we either bury our dead, or we put them in a crypt, or we cremate them so that we don't have to see it.
That's true. I don't think we want to be reminded.
No, definitely not. But there's a mystery in the universe. There's a couple of corpses that don't rot, like I said. And rather than look at these things as freaks of nature, the church has actually, and I should clarify that the Catholic Church has pointed out that these are incorruptible bodies, which is one requisite of being named a saint. And there's a couple of different ways that you can become a saint. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jane, because I know that you're more of an expert on this than I am. But you can either perform a miracle, you can be exhumed after death, and if your body's still intact, that's a sign that you're a saint. You can commit some big act of virtue, you can die a martyr.
Right, like these holy people, I think prerequisite, I think, is three miracles have to be shown to be attributed to you, like during life or after death. And I think when they discovered that a lot of these holy people their corpses weren't rotting, they found this as one of these types of miracles attributed to them.
So let me make sure I understand this. After saints were buried, either if they'd performed miracles in life or they somehow performed miracles after that were attributed to them, their bodies had been interred, but then they were exhumed.
That's right. Like, they became interested, especially there have been cases where the grave site has been known to emit a fragrance like flowers or something like that, or miracles happen around the gravesite, though. So they have exhumed the body and taken a look at it, and they found that it's actually as if it were just falling asleep.
And that's so strange, because I wouldn't say that these corpses, some of the more famous ones, I should say, someone like Saint Sylvan, for instance.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
He's on display in Croatia, and mm-hmm. he doesn't look as fresh as, you know, the day he turned 18, I'm sure, if he did turn 18, I'm not sure when he died. I think his skin has taken on, you know, a slightly, like, leathery look, maybe, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit sallow, but he doesn't look dead.
That's true, and he doesn't look 1,700 years dead either. I think that's how old he is, and it's pretty crazy to see.
And so the question that a lot of people are wondering is, how could a corpse really be incorruptible? Is it a matter of miracle? Is it a matter of science? And there's some instances in which the scientific community has pointed out this is not a religious phenomenon. This is sheer scientific fact. We take, for instance, a group of people buried in Guanajuato, Mexico. They were mummified because the soil there was so salty and dry mm-hmm. that they were essentially sort of embalmed by it.
So this sort of happened by accident by them?
Yeah, definitely by accident. When people dug them up, they were really confused. They're like, why are these people so well preserved?
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually on display.
Wow.
And it's rather unsettling, especially to see the very, very small corpses, like the babies and the children.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another instance of the Talent Man, and this man was hanged in Denmark, and his body fell into a peat bog, and it's so much intact that you can even see hairs.
Oh,
like,
that's crazy.
On a beard.
Oh, man.
Isn't that strange?
Yes, yeah. But then there are instances of corpses like the ones of the Catholic saints where there is no such explanation, like the community of people in Mexico. And it sort of makes sense, to Catholics it made sense at least, that the idea that bodily corruption, like your body rotting after you die, is actually a result of sinfulness. It's a consequence of it. And these people led such holy lives that they didn't get the consequences that came with sin. This sort of makes sense with Mary, the Mary, mother of Jesus, who was supposed to be a virgin and sinless all through her life. Catholics believe that, like Elijah in the Old Testament, God sort of assumed her into heaven, sort of like a go directly to heaven card, you know, don't pass go. So it would make sense that Catholics would dig up these holy people and see that they're not corrupting at all and attribute it to a holy life of not sinning.
So when they exhume the corpses, they're fully expecting to see that their bodies are intact. And it's a very reverent process. And after the saints were found intact and they were discovered to be incorruptible, a lot of them were placed in reliquaries on display.
That's true. You can go there. You can go to churches in Europe and see either whole saints or pieces of saints, actually.
That's where it gets a little bit odd to me, this pieces of saints thing.
Yeah.
I guess there are so many people out there
mm-hmm.
who would want to see a saint who is incorrupted and continues to be of a fleshly being mm-hmm. that they dismembered them and sent them to different churches. So you can see like a part of a saint here, maybe another limb here.
Sure, yeah.
And these are also enclosed in reliquaries. It's not like you go in and they hand you a hand.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That would be rather off-putting. And that's not the case. And when you look at some of the saints, and we have a couple pictures in our article about it, and there's certainly many more out there that you can see. Again, like we mentioned before with Saint Sylvan, they aren't always alive and well. And there are some scandals around the idea of the incorruptible saint because some churches have gone so far as to cover their bodies with wax or to mm-hmm. go ahead and embalm them anyway.
Yeah.
So they make sure to preserve them. And that gets a little bit troublesome too, because if you're preserving a saint, are you somehow doubting that it will continue to be incorruptible?
Yeah, I think the Catholic Church has started to be very skeptical of these reports that it is a work of God, that they're incorruptible, just because there are instances where saints have been exhumed, and at first they seem like they have not been corrupting, but as soon as they get exhumed, they start corrupting very quickly, and so they attribute it to the way that they were buried, or the casket that was containing them.
So is it a matter of what people want to believe, or the historical precedents for mummification versus embalming, and is it that religion is changing in our world today and people want to see this evidence?
Oh, that might be a mix.
A little bit of everything. That's a really tough question. I don't know the answer myself. There's one saint in particular who just fascinates me, and that's Saint Bernadette. And she was born in France to a very humble family, and she was very sick all of her life. I'm talking everything from tuberculosis to cholera to asthma to digestive trouble. I mean, you name it, she had it. And she was asked to enter a nunnery. And someone argued that she shouldn't even be there because she was, how they put it, going to be a pillar of the infirmary. And it's true. She was there all the time. You know, like the kid in your class, he was always asking to go see the nurse because he had a sniffly nose or a scratch knee. Always something. She was always in there.
And not your idea of an imperfect body by any means.
No, definitely not. You know, riddled with sickness and disease. And I think she was actually read her last sacraments 3 times. And she finally died. And her corpse turned out to be incorruptible. And what's more, she had visions from the Virgin Mary, supposedly, that there was a spring, a healing and holy spring near this grotto, and she was able to direct people toward it. And I think that's where her body is enshrined today. Is that right?
I think it is in France. I don't think it's in the town of Lourdes, but the spring is there in Lourdes today. Where people go there to this day, they take pilgrimage to it, and they take the water with them, and the water is said to have healing powers in and of itself.
So it's a part of history that lives on.
Yeah.
Even though these corpses don't, but kind of look like they do. It's a very interesting topic.
One thing that's interesting to me is the idea that these incorruptible corpses are sometimes supposed to emit very nice smells, and I find that really interesting. And at one point, a saint actually, when he was exhumed, they cut off his finger and it bled, as if it were a living body. And it's just, as science, you know, they can't, not yet at least, they can't explain all of this. And it's pretty miraculous to see, at least.
It is. Well, I actually know of 2 incorruptibles who turned out to be quite corruptible. The first, Maximilian Robespierre, a semi-hero turned villain of the French Revolution. He was called the Incorruptible, and he turned out to be sort of a warmonger and put many, many, many thousands of people to death under the hands of the guillotine.
And then there's the fictional Harvey Dent, who didn't turn out to be as incorruptible as everyone thought he did. The golden boy of Gotham City turned bitter when he lost his love.
And faith. Oh, Harvey Dent, not so incorruptible after all. Well, you can read even more about incorruptible corpses and other topics on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.